Introducing the Heart Conviction Podcast with me as your host, Nina Palmer. Spirit-filled discussions, stories, and opinions from my time as a bondsman, pastor, and inmate on reality TV. Unapologetic conversations that will push boundaries, heal hearts, and hopefully add humor where it's been needed. We'll be facing hard truth topics with co-hosts and guests from the best to those society has outcast. Brace yourself because this isn't for the faint-hearted, but crafted to ignite, disrupt, and encourage. No topics too sacred, no heart too guarded. On church, relationships, society, pop culture, sexuality, our hearts, inner freedom, the fight between good and evil, travel, missions, incarceration, reform, love, hate, and the messy journey of pushing past spiritual comfort norms. It's hard being a human, and we're going to learn, grow, crack up, and hopefully renew our minds all at the same time. This might just make you question everything. Get ready for the unthinkable. This will not be your average podcast. Hard conversations start Monday, September 8th for the Heart Conviction Podcast, a Hopecast Network production.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back or welcome to Locks of Laughs podcast. I am your host, Ashley Arpel Steinbach, and today we have a big time casting director, Kara Shoot Rosenbaum. I've coached with her. I've read for her. She is incredible. She's so much fun. She has beautiful pink hair, and I can't wait to bring her on. It's kind of a long one. This is about an hour-long convo, but she answers all of mine and all of your questions about acting, auditioning, the industry, everything you want to know, she has answers for. Before she comes on, obviously, I'm going to, if you want more podcasts and episodes like this, please like and subscribe anywhere you are listening to Locks of Laughs podcast. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, the handle is at Locks of Laughs podcast. Locks is L-O-X, X like your ex-boyfriend, we hate him, of Laughs podcast. And if you'd like to follow me personally, my Instagram is at That's Ashley's Kitchen. All right. Without further ado, Kara Shoot Rosenbaum. Kara Shoot Rosenbaum, thank you so much for coming on Locks of Laughs.
My pleasure. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. You're here virtually. Yeah. We're all here virtually. We just went over. I'm at my grandma's right now.
You're your grandma. So. I'm in the kids' playroom today. We're all thriving in chaos and like, yeah, what do we got to do?
It's happening. How long has it been since I last coached with you?
Oh my gosh.
I didn't even look through my emails to see the date, but I'm pretty sure it was like 2023 or 2022.
Yeah, I think it's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
I think you were like just getting married last time I talked to you, maybe.
Oh my God. So then it's 2022.
Yeah.
It was summer. It had to have been summer 2022. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Cause I was working with Dewan. You know Dewan.
Yeah. I love Dewan.
Right.
Yeah.
I was working with him and that's how it all, I remember that completely. Oh my God. Wow. So 3 years. That's, it's a long time.
No, I know.
Your hair still looks amazing.
Oh, you know, I do what I gotta
do. I love
do.
The color.
We keep it pink. We keep it cool. I'm a cool mom, not a regular mom. So, you know.
You are a cool mom. I'm not a mom, but I'm not even cool. I do my roots at home, like with the L'Oreal, like the $12 L'Oreal, like.
Yes, with the thing. Little brush.
Mm-hmm. I feel like hairdressers everywhere are like killing themselves right now that
cringing.
I said that. But
just cringing.
But I live in the cringe. I like the cringe. So what's happening with you since I last spoke to you? What's new?
Since 2022?
Yeah, a lot.
I have a three-year-old.
Wait.
Yeah, I had a baby in 2022. Mm-hmm.
Mazel. I didn't know.
I had my second kid in 2022. So I have like a whole ass other person now.
That's a big deal. What happened? Nothing.
Thing, just a whole human being, it's fine. But you know, just I feel like since, I mean, 2020, really, like, we are all just sort of in this recovery mode of, like, when are things ever going to be back to the way they were? And like, the answer is never. Like, they're just yeah. never going to be that way. And we're all trying to just, like, do our best to navigate what that means for us. So
we're in a weird time. I feel like we've been in a very weird 5 years. And there's no pattern to follow. Something like this has never happened. So we don't know. Everybody's in a state of flux. And Hollywood especially, I feel like, I mean, I know on my end, acting and comedy is actually, like, people still like to laugh, thank goodness. So that's great. But, like, acting is so, I pray for more auditions. What is it like on your side of the table as a big casting director?
I mean, it's unpredictable. I think, you know, I was just talking the other day to somebody about, we're never going to sort of see the amount, the sheer volume of stuff that we did in, like, 2015. Like, I just don't see that.
The Mecca, that was, like, the heyday.
No, we didn't even know how good we had it. And you know, you're always living in the good old days. Like, we're going to look back on this time at some point and be like, oh my God, we thought it sucked and it was really, like, wonderful. So, It's just, like, hard, you know, not to compare. What I'm seeing is just a lot of uncertainty. And I think that's sort of the name of the game, is that some days there's, like, oh yeah, it's getting better. And I'm hearing about pilots getting picked up and people getting auditions, and my inbox is full of people who want to coach. And then, like, a month later, it's like, oh, it's quiet.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be, like, a rhyme or reason to it. And I think that is sort of the hardest thing for people to wrap their brains around, because people love routine and people love patterns. And we don't really have that anymore.
We don't. I mean, even you just bringing up 2015, it's so, even though it was, I'm using air quotes. I've been using air quotes all week on the show, but that's just
for your listeners.
Right. Yeah. Cause they can see me. It's just a decade ago. So much has changed. I was going in the room. I was able to, again, air quotes, book the room if I could. And it's just different but it also could be considered a good thing, you know, with the self-tapes. You can self-tape from anywhere if you bring your blue screen, your blue backdrop, and your iPhone and a light. I mean, before we jump into that, what are you noshing on, Kara? I skipped over it. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. We just, like, got right into it, huh?
I know we did.
I am noshing on, currently I've got, here, do some ASMR. That sound good?
Those are the best plantain chips.
Trader Joe's plantain chips. They are this what fuels me.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I have bags in, like, different rooms of my house. You know, they're, like, half empty, crumpled up and shoved in different drawers for, like, wherever I am. My husband finds them sometimes and he's like, what is this?
What's happening?
So that is what I am noshing on currently.
Love that. I wish I had something more fun. I just had pasta for lunch, but I just have water right here. That's what I'm noshing on now.
She's hydrated. Okay. We love a hydrated queen.
Thank you. I'm gonna like sleep well tonight, hydrated queen. Okay, going back, we are just jumping right into it. Cause I feel like I've had casting directors on this show, and this is the number one question that people ask me to ask. And it goes back into the self-tape, because yes, we as actors can record from anywhere, which is great if we're, you know, that goes, it also, you have to be prepared for the audition. But what is the probability that once we send it to our reps and they send it in, or once we upload it to Actors Access and it's submitted, that the casting director actually views it?
100%. That's our job.
100%.
That's our job.
No, but you know, it's always like, you get like 1,000. Are you going to watch it?
We don't get 1,000. And that is where I think the misconception lies.
Okay, tell me.
We are not requesting 1,000 auditions. Like, that is...
That makes sense.
Spooky dukes, right? Yeah. We're getting thousands of submissions for sure. Right. Like, I put out a role and I'll get 3,000 submissions on a role. And so it's my job to go through those 3,000 and narrow it down. And the thing about that is, people are like, but you're not looking at all 3,000. Yes, I am. It's literally my job to look at all 3,000, but I can do it really quickly because majority of the submissions in there are not right. And they're mm-hmm. so clearly not right that, like, I can just sort of move really fast looking at them, know who's right, know who's going to be wrong, and be able to kind of go through. So it's literally our job to do that, mm-hmm. To go through. And then once we go through all of those submissions and decide who we want to extend an invitation to, that invitation means, I think you could book this job. Right? That's what an audition, a self-tape audition means. I think you could book this job. Prove me right. And I think so many actors look at it as they're just trying something. I'm like one in a pile. I don't have a chance.
That's always my mindset. I have to turn that around. It really is.
Yeah. I want you to book. I want to see you book this job. So I'm giving you the opportunity to prove that to me. Otherwise, if I don't think you're going to book, I'm not going to waste your time and my time, because it is my job to watch the self-tapes when they come in and look through. And then within that, then there's the narrowing down process. There's the creative conversations. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, however that project is going to work in terms of what people want to see. But I am never going to ask somebody to self-tape and then not watch that tape. Like, that is crazy talk. And I truly don't know any casting directors that do feel that way. But mm-hmm. I know that it's maddening, because you're like, is my work even getting seen? I'm just sending it off into the void and I don't know what happens to it. And I wish there was a better way. Mm-hmm. Like, even, you know, I know they were throwing around some idea that, like, there you would get some, like, check off mark or something if your tape got viewed in Actors Access. But I feel like
they tried that and then they took it away, because I kind of remember, like, a couple months ago. I mean, I just had an audition about 2 weeks ago, and mm-hmm. then before that it was like 6 months. I don't even know, but I kind of remember within the last year that they had it, but they must have taken it away.
I don't know if they had anything official. I think they've been playing with some ideas okay. of things, but I also think that's a slippery slope, because then it's going to be like, okay, well, they watched it, but when did they watch it? How much of it did they watch? Did they watch it more than once? Like, it's never going to be enough when you mm-hmm. don't book the audition, because you're always wondering what else you could have done or what you could have done differently. Mm-hmm. And so many times the person that books, I can only book one, and the person that books, it has nothing to do with, like, what someone else did, the reason that they book because of their tape, and you didn't book because of their tape, right? Not anything that you necessarily did either. And then, like, comparison game, if I had known they wanted that way, I would have just done it like that, but it wasn't for you. Like, it wasn't mm-hmm. your tape, and making somebody else's choices is not authentic to who you are. So it's so much about right place, right time, right context for these tapes. And we're watching them. And I guess I can only speak for myself, but I'm usually watching them multiple times, to be honest, because especially when I'm narrowing down and I'm trying to figure out who I'm going to send through, and mm-hmm. did they really make this beat, or did they miss something here or whatever? Then I have to, like, make sure that I'm well-versed in that actor, in that tape, and what I'm submitting to represent me. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there's things and feelings that were going around about people only watching, like, a few seconds of a tape at a time. And I think that happens when, like, just a tape is really objectively not right, or the actor is totally green or totally wrong, that it's like, and you know your creative team, that it's just, like, not going to give it a chance. But that is the exception, not the rule. That's not how I'm going through my tapes, you know?
Now, how can you tell? I mean, I'm sure it's pretty easy, but you mentioned if that actor is particularly green. Mm-hmm. What in a self-tape specifically makes it stand out that this person is a newbie?
I mean, I think it can be a lot of things, and it's going to depend on the context of the role. But I think right away, if somebody has, like, a take on a scene that's completely different tonally, or they don't feel like they're in the same world, or we can see them overperforming or sort of shouting and playing to the balconies in a self-tape, like, that's usually a pretty good sign that it's somebody mm-hmm. who doesn't have as much experience in the film and TV sensibility, or is new at this. And again, we don't see so many tapes like that because we're filtering, and because we're requesting auditions. Every now and then you're going to get something like that, because an agent calls me and makes a passion pitch, and I say, okay, and I get the tape, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I know that's not it.
Does that happen often?
No, it doesn't.
An agent? No, it doesn't. Oh, so that
passion pitch. I thought you meant the crazy tape.
Yeah. Does it happen often where, like, reps, whether it's an agent or manager, will call and be like, I have this great person. You got to see him.
Yeah.
All the time. It does. I love that. I hope my reps are doing that. I think.
Are you listening, Ashley's reps?
I actually love them, but I do hope that they're doing that for me.
I bet they are, because that's their job too. Like, it's their job to be in communication with us and let us know, you know, what we're missing out on. Whenever I release a breakdown, the floodgates of my email are just like open, and it is like hundreds of emails from agents and managers pitching their clients, pitching multiple people or pitching specific people, or like wanting to get on my radar or wanting to find out more. Like, that's your job. And I think there's sort of this idea that, like, oh, my reps aren't pitching, but like, they're supposed to, like, that is the thing they do. And I think more often than not, they are. It's just sort of that unseen work that we can't feel and we can't know. And so we were like, but like, are you really? And it's hard because then you second guess everything, you know?
Oh, the life of an actor, second guessing it is like, it happens every day. You second guess your choice and your ability to be an actor. Question, and this is from some people and myself, because I also must know. How often should an actor get new headshots? And I know that there's a lot of context within that. Like, do you look the same as your last headshots, X, Y, Z? But without context, Kara, how often? Without any context at all.
I don't think there's a magical number. I think if you're under 18, it has to be more often because you're changing drastically. And so, you know, you do not look the same at 13 as you do at 16. And so, like,
I don't think I have any listeners that are under 18.
I'm just saying, out there.
Like, not that we're doing anything bad here.
No, we're not here for the young performers. But so, like, but I bring that up because it's like they're clearly changing and they clearly need new headshots. But as an adult, I think a lot of times things get blamed on pictures, or you feel like you can have more control, or it's something to do of like, I'm not going out, so I should just get new pictures because that will help me. And then you spend a lot of money on pictures and then it's the same. And so because it's an easy thing to say, like, I can take this on instead of waiting for the timing and waiting for the industry to pick up and waiting for all of these things to happen. This is something that I can be active and go out and do. And so that feels really good for our nervous system to be like, oh, this is me taking control. But it also, like, could be not the best idea. I know actors who have had the same headshot for like 12 years who work a lot, and they just have a really good pick, and their look hasn't changed that drastically, or they've got the money to keep their skin looking young, and like, it's fine, and it just is what it is. But I also know actors that like get them every like 3 years, and that works for them, depending on like how they grow, how they look. I also know people who came out of the pandemic and just looked completely different, and were like, these headshots aren't serving me anymore, and they don't represent who I am. And so I think the best thing that I can say is that if you feel like your headshot truly doesn't authentically represent what's going to walk in front of me, then evaluating whether or not you need new headshots could be a good idea for you.
Yeah. It's interesting. I feel like the average for me is I get new headshots about average-wise, maybe every year and a half, and I just feel like it's so overdone.
Yeah, that's a lot. That feels excessive to me.
And I mean, my hair's long. My hair is the same length as it is in my current headshots.
Yeah.
But I feel like I had some medical stuff go on, so I'm like probably a little fuller in my face than I was. I mean, I'm talking like maybe like 10, 15, not like crazy.
Yeah.
You've seen my headshot in our email exchange. Like, I don't think I look different, but I'm – okay, well then no. Okay, then I'm not saying anything. Forget it.
No, but that's
but
I think
it's something to think about.
I think as women, especially, I don't find that this happens with the men as much. I think people who identify in a feminine way, because we're so preoccupied with the way we look and the way our hair is and how it can change and how the makeup can change and how you are a different person when you have a red lip and a different person when you have your hair up, that you're like, well, I need to represent all of those facets of my personality and show you very clearly. And we have more imagination than you think. And so mm-hmm. we don't need to be told so specifically. We also can hire hair and wardrobe and makeup and hello, my hair is pink. Like, hair can change. So right. like, I think it's if you get a haircut, that's not necessarily like, oh my God, I have to run out and get new shots. You know, mm-hmm. like, if you still look like you at the end of the day, your face, and I'm not going to be totally like, this is a different person, that's okay. I see a right. lot of this too with my lovely ladies of color who have wigs or, you know, extensions or lace fronts or things that they put in their hair, and they feel like they have to have a shot that represents each different identity, or make sure mm. then that they're coming in with that hair for the yeah. audition based on which headshot was submitted. And like, again, like, that is all stuff that is totally changeable and adaptable. And like, we know that it's changeable and adaptable. So
that's a really great point. So if I have my curly, this is my natural, didn't mm-hmm. wash it today, curly, I call it my homey, like, Jewish hair, because I'm Jewish. But my headshots, most of them, no, all of them, my hair was straight mm-hmm. in them, because I straightened it for it. I mean, it has a little wave, but I could still send in a tape with this hair. I wouldn't have to straighten it for every single thing.
No, you don't have to straighten. You don't have to flat iron your hair just because you got an audition. If you don't have the time or the energy, or it doesn't feel right for the character, or like whatever, mm-hmm. like, again, that's stuff that could change. Now, if it's not character appropriate, right? That's a different conversation. But most of the time, I find that the hair choices are not throwing me off in a way,
right?
That when mm-hmm. I watch the tape, like, I'm looking more into the essence of the person and the package and what I'm seeing, what emotional and relational story they're telling me. Mm-hmm. And you are going to be a part of that for sure in the way that you look, but you don't have to like telegraph and make your headshot come to life on that self tape.
Right. I feel like when actors get an audition, we think we're the only creatives involved. So yeah. we're like, we have to put exactly what this says right here. Mm-hmm. And there's no creativity outside of us. And it's just not the case at all.
No, the other thing I always find kind of funny is like when an actor gets a callback, and I think this is a very like old school, like BFA program way of thinking of that the actor has to come in the exact same outfit with the exact same hair. Yeah, you don't have to do that.
Wait, yes. Can I just say something? Because I got I sent in a self-tape for General Hospital, Mark Teschner, mm-hmm. and I got a producer session from the self-tape. So I wore the exact same dress, did my hair, makeup exact same way, but I was stupid because on camera, like maybe the slate showed my shoes, whatever, but I wore really uncomfortable heels for the audition. I was like, well, I have to wear them for this. Bad mm-hmm. move. I tripped during my producer session. I bombed, but and I was so overprepared, but in a good thing. I never think that you can be overprepared, but I actually like I went off the rails, but I bombed it, and I wore the exact same thing, and it was I looked ridiculous too because it just didn't make any sense. I was like in a hospital, but in like a tight red dress.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if we know that you have other clothes, right? Like as long yeah. as it's appropriate.
You do?
Yeah. You do. But like, and that's the thing too, even with the slates, people who self-tape and do slates, like you, so many actors are redoing their slates for every single self-tape. And I'm like, why? Mm. Just make one slate and keep it and attach it to all your self-tapes. Like you don't have to re-slate yeah. every time because you're in the same wardrobe. Like if you've got one good full body slate, hi, I'm Kara Shoot Rosenbaum. I'm 5'4" and I'm based in Los Angeles. And then if there's anything else that you need to add to that, you can add to that either in the notes or you can retape if it's like they're asking for something specific, but like you don't have to wear the same every time and drive yourself nuts. So again, like, and those are not the things that are going to book at the end of the day, but I think actors are really superstitious in a way where they're like, I'm not going to set myself up so that I can say, well, if I had just worn the same thing, or if I hadn't done that slate, or if I did whatever, like I checked all the boxes and did all the things that I'm supposed to do.
100%.
And it's hard. It's hard. It's not, we are not looking at that stuff based on whether or not to book someone.
Slates are usually, and this was something I was talking to my friend about, who he's also an actor. He's amazing. I love him. But we were talking about where the slate goes, and it goes at the end of the audition, right?
Well, I like them at the end of the audition because I would always rather start with your acting. And so I tell actors all the time, if it doesn't specifically tell you where they want it, put it at the end, start with your acting, because it really is bookkeeping. It's for knowing how to pronounce your name, knowing where you are, knowing your pronouns. And it's also knowing, like, when my assistants are going through the tape and they don't know who's who, and then things get mislabeled and separated, then they can go back and watch the slates and know how to put them back in the right order in the right place.
Oh, interesting. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, I've only had a few, I mean, I don't know about a few, but I've had some auditions where they want scene one as scene one and then a separate video for scene two and then the slate separately. Mm-hmm. And that's, they're doing their own bookkeeping.
Yeah, that's it. And especially because when you upload to Actors Access and you upload them as separate clips, we see them as separate clips, so we don't have to click through them and find where the scenes start and where the scenes end. So we know exactly we're going to click on scene one and get scene one. We're going to click on scene two and get scene two. We're going to click on your slate and get your slate. So for me, I like that better than just having one big file and I don't know where anything is in the file, because if I just want to look at your scene two, or I want to look at whatever, or I don't want to watch your slate, then I don't have to click on it.
Right.
And, you know, like, the directors are only watching the slate occasionally when they're like, how old is that person? Or how tall is that person again? Not tall. Don't tell anyone. But, like,
oh, is it? Wait. Mm-hmm. Someone said that to me recently. So, really, we're just not supposed to say our age anymore.
Oh, no, never were. You never were supposed to say your age.
Oh, really?
Unless you are under 18, you do not have to tell anyone your age. And if someone asks your age, all you have to say is that you're over 18.
Okay. Maybe that's why I'm not booking, because they know my age.
Yeah, don't tell anybody that. No, no, no.
Yeah, they don't. Is that still a stigma that aging just doesn't exist for women in Hollywood? Is that still just like...
I mean, yes and no. I think it's just always going to be somewhere in the background, but SAG and legally, like, that's not a thing that we are allowed to ask. If that information is volunteered to us, then we have it and we can do whatever we do with it. And again, I don't think at the end of the day I'm going to be like, well, she told me that she was 39. But it's not practice to give your age.
Yeah, because I feel like if you're casting for a series regular on something like, I don't know, like Grey's Anatomy, you probably, I guess it depends on the role, but you want someone that's going to stick around, right?
I mean, people age differently. I think it totally depends, right? But you don't want the impression of your age to be what people see,
right?
Instead of the acting. And I think age is one of those things where it's like, once people know that's what they're looking for, and if they can just focus on the work and the character and the type, that's really what you want. And then that stuff comes later. Sometimes we'll do lists for roles and things like that, or we'll be building families and it'll start to become important because we're trying to be like, well, like, could this person reasonably be a parent to this age of a child or something like that? And that's a whole different conversation. But also, that's not something that you should be willingly giving out to people. Like, let them go and and find that information if they need to.
That's interesting, because I always find it very funny when I see an age range that's like 34 to 45. And I'm like, that's incredibly broad. Like, that's 11 years.
Yeah.
Is that normal to give such a wide range?
Yeah, because again, like, people look different at different ages, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're trying something and they don't want to limit and just say 42 and not feel like they're getting the pool of people, because maybe there is a 38-year-old in there that is going to be spot on, you know? So getting sometimes the wider age allows some fluidity and doesn't allow it to be as rigid, because again, we're not just locking into an age and an ideal. And I think actors get really locked into that sometimes, of like what their age range is and what they can play. My answer is always, you know how old you are. Like, you can play like a couple years above and a couple years below that, and that's generally about where you lie. But like, I crack up when I see these resumes that are like, I play anything from 17 to 32, and I'm like, you do not. That's not.
That's not 17 to 32.
I see it all the time.
That's 15 years.
Sure is.
That's wild.
Wild. Yep.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, I don't have that age range. Mm-mm. I'm going to go out for a high school junior, actually. No,
nope, definitely not.
I don't think so. Wait, I just had a question, and then it just completely left me. No, I hate that. Okay, let's talk about you. Okay, it'll come back to me. I want to talk about the Mindy Project, because I am a huge fan of Mindy Kaling. She's obviously incredibly beautiful, but she's so talented.
Yeah.
And as a comedian, her success is incredible. Do you remember the beginning stages of that show? Can you talk a little bit about that?
So I didn't come on to Mindy until season 4. So The good season. I came on when they moved to Hulu. Here for the beginning of the show, and it's
okay.
There's something actually really nice about coming into a show that's sort of already found its footing and is like a well-oiled machine. But yeah. I do remember I was working actually at a different casting office on a competing pilot with that pilot. I remember that pilot season, it was like 2011 or 2012 or something like that. And I was also working on a pilot at Fox that was a comedy pilot. And I remember Mindy Project got picked up and our pilot did not get picked up. And I was like, what even is this show? It doesn't have a real title. And I was a part of the last three. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's
so you never know where you're gonna go.
Never. You never know how things are gonna end up. But it was the great. I love that show so much. Not only because I loved the show, I thought the show was so joyful and so fun, and she is such a force and so just understands what she wants and how she wants to create a world and how she wants people to see her. And I just thought that was so cool. But I also just loved the people. Like, I loved the people behind the scenes, everybody in the production office. Like, we had a really good time together. And there are shows that I've worked on, like, that never went more than a season that I still talk to some of those folks on, too, that, like, we just, like, become, you know, a ragtag family and you know, and that's like why people love theater and stuff, right? You become a theater family when you do a show.
Oh yeah,
buddy. So
theater, yeah. I mean, just going back to my college days doing theater, like that was so fun.
The best.
Oh my god, so fun. Oh my god, I remember my question now.
Good.
It has to do with self-taping. So here it is. I feel like I'm asking you, people want to know this, but I really want to know this. When an audition, okay, I wake up on a Monday for an audition that is due Friday. That's a long time. Mm-hmm. That's not normal. But, so let's not actually give that one. I'm going to give you the realistic one that I got. I woke up on a Tuesday, got an audition. And it was due by Friday,
okay,
I believe. What day, realistically, given that it's like 6 pages of dialogue, supporting role, going to get it coached, how does it work as the casting director? Are you just actively, every time you get an audition, you're viewing it? Or are you sitting down Saturday or Sunday or Monday after all the auditions got in and you're like, okay, let's start? How does that work?
So it's truly a mix, and it depends what I have time for. But I always tell actors, there's no gold star for getting your tape in first. You don't win a prize. You don't win a prize, because even if your tape comes in first and even if it's brilliant, I'm still going to wait until all the tapes are in and make sure that I've watched everything, because again, that's my job. So right. I might hold those tapes to the standard of one that I watched earlier that was superior. But what I find is more often than not, and I'm not saying always, I'm saying more often than not, now the idea of the hustle of getting your tape in first makes actors turn in mediocre tapes early. And I just wish they'd taken the extra day and turned in a better tape by the deadline. Mm-hmm. The deadline is the deadline. And unless you get something that says we're watching these on a rolling basis, please submit as soon as possible, then just honor the deadline. I know there are a couple of casting directors out there that watch that are say like, get them in because I'm going to watch them, get them in and then I'm going to watch it. And I think those people are identifiable. Like, I think people, everybody's like, oh, this one is like that. But mm-hmm. I do think they are the exception and not the rule, because again, like, I will say they're due on Friday so that I know that, like, I'm going to spend my weekend watching the tape so I can get them first thing out on Monday, or get them in Thursday night because I'm planning on sending them Friday morning to my producers narrowed down. So our timetables are also built around those deadlines. Mm-hmm. And we are doing our best with the time that we have and the pressure of time that we have to be able to figure out how they need to go. The only thing I can't do is help you if you submit something after the deadline that I didn't expect, right? Unless you have a conversation with me that's like, hey, I can't make this work. Can I get it to you by 3 p.m. instead of 10 a.m.? And I say, okay, mm-hmm. like, that's great. But if you're, if that tape is due at 10 a.m. on Friday and I get it at 6 p.m. on Friday and didn't know it was coming, I may have already sent the tapes, like, depending on what time I'm working with. So mm-hmm. it's just making sure that you have a clear honor of what the deadline is, and then you work backwards and prioritize your time. But have you ever gotten a tape in and then being like, oh my God, good job, you did it first? Like, no, nobody's giving out that accolade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not going to be pinned just because you got it in earlier. That's true. Going back to sort of like the professionalism of a self-tape, mm-hmm. what would you say is probably an actor's biggest mistake when filming, editing, and then submitting a self-tape?
The biggest mistake, I don't know if
Or the biggest, like, no-no. You know, I've heard that, oh, if you don't have a green, blue, or gray backdrop, don't even film. And is that real? I mean,
no, that's not real. Again, like, the work is going to be good, then all that stuff is going to be forgivable, right? Like, mm-hmm. if the acting is incredible and the actor is amazing and so zoned in, all of that other garbage gets forgiven. I need to see you and I need to hear you. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's like one thing that's like, oh my God, this is the rule, except like, don't be late. And, you know, just check. Like, we give so much information to a fault, I think. Like, I think it's very confusing for actors because we try to be so specific and give you so much information about how to slate, how to label, how to upload, mm-hmm. that the actors just become like, it's too much. I'm just sending it in as it is. And like, that's fine too. I would say of the self-tapes that I send, like, maybe like 70% of them are labeled correctly, and that is being kind. It's probably more like 50. They're just not labeled the way I want them. But does that mean they go in the trash? No, I'm still going to watch your tape. I'm not going to dismiss it because it's not labeled right. So, and that goes for like my classes too. Even in my classes where we're like practicing labeling and practicing self-taping, and there's no job on the line. Erica and I were just talking about this because Erica Bream and I ran a class together a couple months ago, and I think like out of the whole class, maybe three people had labeled their tapes the way that we had asked them to. Like, what happened with this group? Like, what? Their brains just all shut off. Nobody read the directions, but like, at the end of the day, that didn't matter because we weren't looking at the labeling and the slating and all of that stuff. We're looking mm-hmm. at the acting. So like, yeah, we want you to read the directions, but like, don't drive yourself nuts at the end of the day.
Yeah, right. Be happy, be excited, and perform to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about your classes?
Yeah. So Erica Bream, who is I like to call her my casting life partner, or we like to call each other that.
I think I coached with her once, like in 2022.
She's the best. She's absolutely
I really love her.
Gorgeous, yeah. Beautiful, giving, mm-hmm. lovely human. She's based in Asheville, North Carolina. She left me back in 2017. I'm very bitter about it still. But we teach virtual classes together, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the stuff that I loved about this job pre-pandemic was being in the room and getting to interact with actors, and I don't get to do that anymore. And I also mm-hmm. love teaching. I love making sure that, like, we're on the same page and yeah. people have the tools. Like, I don't believe in this don't look behind the curtain kind of stuff. And so Erica and I have, over the course of the last 5 years, developed a lot of different classes that we offer. We offer a class just on co-stars and nailing co-stars. That class is really cool because it's about 25 to 30-ish people, and they all do the same material, one drama and one comedy co-star. So you're actually Ooh. Getting, like, a good sample size of, like, what the auditions might look like coming in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the coolest part is that the actors get to see eventually all of the auditions for the class and all of the feedback for the class. So you're really getting a look behind the curtain of, like, what other people are going to be doing with the same material, same information, same time limit, same everything. Mm-hmm. And what choices are they making that are working? What choices are they making that are not working? And what do we see in those tapes? And what are ways mm-hmm. that we can sort of empower people to kind of elevate those tapes for the future. So we do that with co-stars. We do that with guest stars, comedy, drama. We have some script analysis classes. We have constantly evolving and tailoring the needs to what people are looking for, which is also really cool.
I love that.
Yeah, it's fun.
I love that because you really are – I think you're opening doors for people that maybe just moved to L.A. or aren't even in L.A. and just want to, like – learn. I think especially what we were talking about earlier, that because self-tapes are 99.9% of the auditions people are getting, you can self-tape from anywhere. Yeah. You can be anywhere. And if you list yourself as actually another question, listing yourself as a local hire when you don't actually live in that place, what are your thoughts on that?
Are you a true local hire? You might not live in a place, but, like, your best friend lives in Atlanta and you know that you could crash on their couch at a moment's notice if you needed to mm-hmm. be there. Great, I love that for you. But that's not the only thing it means. It means that at a moment's notice, you're going to be able to jump on a plane, get to Atlanta, yeah. get yourself around Atlanta transportation-wise, mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, crash on that couch. So knowing truly that you are taking on a financial burden when you're listing yourself a local hire is really, really important. Co-stars are not going to be typically cast out of other markets. We just don't have the time and we don't have mm-hmm. the money. And so when we need somebody, especially for the co-star, they're the last roles to be cast for an episode. So we usually right. need to hire them and have them in wardrobe tomorrow. So if you were in LA and I'm like, okay, making the deal, she's got the offer, and they're like, oh, we just need to get her on a plane. And I'm like, sorry, what? And they're like, yeah, she can get there. She can't be there tomorrow morning, but she can be there tomorrow afternoon. Now my production is at a standstill because we didn't actually know where you were. So I think it can be great. And, like, maybe you have private jet money and you can jump to wherever you need to be. And, like, that's cool too.
Yeah.
Love that for you. But, like, you need to be able to understand what the financial indications of taking on a job are going to be. Mm-hmm. And so simply saying, like, I'm a local hire in LA, but I'm currently in Atlanta, that's a great thing to say because then I know where you are in the world. I know that you're not here, but you could be here and you could work here. But if I have to get you here tonight, I can't do that. Right.
So it could affect the role in that moment, but for future roles – as long as we know where you are.
Yeah. As long as we know where you are and you can be honest about it. I think sometimes actors are like, well, if they love me, they're going to travel me. And productions don't like to spend money that they don't have to spend.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going to happen.
It's also, if you list yourself as a local hire, it's one thing if they say, like, travel and lodging provided. And then it's like you actually are closer to Atlanta than, I don't know, XYZ. I don't know. Or you live in New York, but you were in LA. I don't know. I'm trying to, like, make it make sense. But like, you, if you list yourself as a local hire in New York and you live in LA, my dad's in New York, mm-hmm. I'm getting myself there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm staying at my dad's. I'm putting myself in a plane.
That's hotel, travel, ground transportation and per mm-hmm. diem that we don't have to pay, because when we travel someone and we treat them as somebody that needs to travel, we have to pay all our production. Not me, I'm not paying shit. Our production has to pay all of that stuff. That amounts mm-hmm. to a lot of money, usually mm-hmm. more than the actual fee itself that you're paying the actor. When you add up the
right.
per diem, the ground transportation or a rental car or Uber receipts and the travel and everything else, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, I list myself as a local hire. Like my reps, they all know I'm a local hire in New York. I will get myself there, though. Mm-hmm. I will be there and I stay at my dad's. I there's a room. Hey, yeah. I'm doing it. Doesn't Great. Matter. And the transportation, like the ground transportation. New York is the best for that. Subways, yeah. cabs, Ubers, walk. Yeah. So I'm lucky in that yeah. sense. But that's very good to know if you just say, I can work as a local hire, but I am currently here. It's mm-hmm. as if you're on vacation. Yeah. I'm.
Right. You're not you saying know, where like, you live. You're saying where you currently are. Right?
Right. Yes.
I'm, so you're that's like, the... Mm-hmm. I'm local LA. I'm currently in Atlanta. I'm local Atlanta. I'm currently in New Orleans. Like wherever it is, I'm willing to get myself there, but I'm not there right now. And I need you to understand that I'm not there mm-hmm. right now, so that we're all playing with the full deck. And that's really yeah. important than just saying, I'm in New York when you're not.
When you're not, right. Because if it's, they say, great, okay, so we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. That didn't happen to me. When I was able to play a teenager 10 years ago, I had an audition on like a Tuesday. So it's actually a pretty legitimate amount of time. And then that Saturday was the first day on set. So it was, but it wasn't in New York. It was a 2-hour drive from LA. So I drove myself
right
to set. So it wasn't a big deal, but I'm just saying there was, even if I wasn't, but that audition was in person anyway, that was still during the in-person time. Have you had an in-person audition recently?
Recently, no. When was the last
in-person? What about a callback? Like, are callbacks in-person now or no?
I've only done virtual callbacks. I think the most recent in-person auditions I did were last summer for the Young Playwrights Theater Festival.
Okay.
Here in Los Angeles. We had live human beings, which was so great. But I don't know if I've done one in a while. But yeah, it's all virtual. And honestly, like it gives people their lives back, one, which I think is really important. It lets our schedules be a lot more flexible. Like when my location manager is like, I need them on a scout, and I'm like, well, I need them for callback. And it's like, great, they've got 1 hour in between, they can jump on a Zoom. Like we can do a lot more coordinating mm-hmm. on our end, which is really great. But I mm-hmm. do understand that, like, the interpersonal exchange of energy is lost over the computer, and that, like, it's really hard to have chemistry with a wall. Like, I think it's still funny that we call them chemistry reads on Zoom, because, like, you don't have chemistry.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. That's so true. And it's also – I understand on set there are so many distractions as well, but, like, my cat's here, my dog, husband in the other room. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much – and I can see myself.
Right.
So, like, I would have to move myself and, like, pin you.
Right.
So that I couldn't see my reaction and be like, nope, what? Your eye twitched. There's something in your nose. You know what I mean?
Which I think you should always do anyway, to be honest. Like, whatever I am able – I can't do it on this fancy recording thing app with me on here. But whenever I Zoom, I always hide my self view. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Because then I'm going to be like, I've got this, like, little hair right here. And I would like so much rather like be focused on a human being.
Right.
But it's hard. Like sometimes you don't have those options, or you can't figure out the pan, or like what, you know, or somebody else is in control of the medium. So it's really difficult. You never know what you're going to step into in a virtual situation.
So now that even callbacks are virtual, realistically, like you have cast people that you've never met in mm-hmm. person, but you're nodding. Everybody, she's nodding. She said yes.
Yeah.
She said yes.
It's true. I just did an indie movie And we did the whole thing virtually. We had callbacks. We did it all. And then actors showed up to set and had a wonderful, marvelous time. And I was really lucky on that indie. I had a director who was very hands-on, who cared so, so much. She was just brilliant. And she brought a lot to the table. The callbacks weren't just like perform for me. They were very much like, let's talk and see if we vibe.
Was that Finestra?
No, without that one too.
Oh no.
It's called Best Friends Forever. It's a
ooh, oh, shot. Wait. Why does that sound so familiar?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Wow. But yeah, it was great. But it was like, oh, you have legs when people finally got to
right, play. Yeah, yeah. That's so funny. We had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very interesting. Are there many differences between casting an indie film and then something as big as the Mindy Project?
I mean, you always have more time on a feature. Just a lot more time to sort of take your time and see. And Mindy Project is like every week we have a different episode, so we need to button that shit up. Indie movies, you know, if you have dates for an indie movie ever, which is sometimes a thing you're playing with fire where you're like, we're going to start casting. We don't actually have a shoot date. And so it's like, okay, we're just going to see what we got. But there's a different energy. There's a different pace. There's a different sort of buy-in, I think, to that world. But at the same time, I find that the indie directors are like, what else is there? Like, what else can we see? And I'm sort of like, what else do you need?
yeah. Wait a minute. What?
At all. It's definitely different. I like the pace of TV. I just think that it's okay. I gotta go. I have to have it done. I need an actor on set tomorrow.
Right.
And so the pressure of time and the urgency for me, I think, is really fun. But I get that it's not everybody's cup of tea.
It's also different now. I feel like that there are so many straight to series shows where it's like you get 10 episodes and it's going to Netflix. So is that sort of a similar pace to a feature because you have so much time or no, it's not?
Yes and no. It just depends on the shooting schedule. And some of those things are like also cross-boarded. So you're shooting multiple episodes at a time. So you have to account for casting multiple episodes because they're like, well, we're shooting the chef in episodes 3, 6, and 9 on one day so we can shoot him out. And you're like, okay, and I got to find this person that I didn't think I was going to have to find because I thought we were on episode one. So like that adds a different element to it as well when you're sort of doing this block shooting. But yeah, it entirely depends on the production, on the schedule, on what's going on.
It's so every time I speak to a casting director, it's so exciting and interesting to hear your side of it because in acting class and my friends that are also actors or just on this side of things, whether they're actors, comedians, singers, we have such a different, I don't know whether it's not like the different sense of camaraderie, but there is just a different like mindset. We're all trying to be like, can you read with me because X, Y, Z, and I would love it if you could help me with this. And how do you read this scene? Am I reading it the same as you? And it's just so interesting on our side. And then to hear everything behind the scenes for you.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah, it's different. And we don't want you to lose that stuff too. That stuff is important. Your script analysis is so important when you're auditioning. It's all you have because you don't have a full script. You don't have a full world. But like, I think it's good to understand that creatively, there is so much going on behind the scene. Like we're dealing with schedules, we're dealing with locations, we're dealing with dates, we're dealing with like whatever all the drama and the network and somebody got sick and we had to remove a whole unit. And like, we're balancing budgets and figuring out how many top of shows we have to put in this episode. And we're also watching tapes and figuring out who's going to be best for the role. So there is a lot. There's a lot going on at any given time.
Yeah. No, it's just so interesting. Mm-hmm. Every time I talk to a casting director. So can you tell us, before I let you go, what you're working on right now, if you're even allowed to tell us?
It's interesting. I'm not technically on anything right now, but I just got brought on sort of I don't know if I can, I'm allowed to say this. I'll be vague. I got brought on to a pilot, a network pilot, just for a couple weeks to like, for additional hands on deck to do a search. Which was really interesting because I've never been in that position before, but it was just sort of like, we're coming, we just like need a little bit of extra help to sort of dig into some corners and see if we're missing something. So that was, it was literally, it's like, it's not my party. I'm sort of joining somebody else's party for a very short time and like coming in and doing that. So I just wrapped that up, which was really exciting. I'm teaching classes, I'm doing audition coaching, I'm dealing with summer schedules with my children, my oldest is going to school next week, which is wild.
I can't believe it already. Next thing.
I know, LAUSD starts so, I grew up on the East Coast, so like I will never get used to starting school before Labor Day, but like
every year. Yeah, I grew up in New York. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's so weird. No, she starts on the 14th, next Thursday. I'm like, why are you starting school on a Thursday?
Super weird.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, no, just you know, figuring out next steps. I think, like, so many people, and I think people forget that, too, that, like, casting, we have to sell ourselves as well and find our jobs and hit up people and be like, I'm available. And it's not fun.
I also think, I don't like it. I also think actors sometimes forget that you're real people. You have lives, and we're trying to be seen, or we're trying to stand out once we are seen, that we don't realize you're a human being.
Yeah.
You also have feelings and emotions, and but everybody, you heard it here first. Kara has emotions.
I have emotions.
She's a real person.
real person with real thoughts and feelings. Yeah, it's look, I think especially with social media, it's really hard because people only see what they want to see or only post what they want people to see about them. And then you can very easily form opinions based on that. And I've seen a lot of vitriol develop towards me, towards other people.
Like, really? Towards you?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what does that mean?
You know, I think trolls are gonna troll, and like, it's tough out there. I think people who are frustrated with lack or frustrated with where they are can start to take it out on other people, especially people that they don't know or don't have experience with. But like, you know, things you can say or do or post can get taken out of context and somebody can run with it, and then it's their point of view, and it's you know, their what they think, and nobody can tell them what they think, and now they all have amassed a group of followers being like,
everybody hides behind a keyboard.
Yeah, everybody hides behind a keyboard. And I've had people accuse me of really wild things on social media, and I try very, very hard just to be like, okay, and sort of like, fine, that's not my journey, and not, you know, and it hurts in the moment, and then I'll forget about it 3 days later.
Right.
But it's almost the same. I was actually just talking to an actor about this who I adore, who is on a soap opera right now, and she is amazing, and she's doing amazing work on the soap opera, and the amount of online hate she is receiving for the character she's playing has become really, really overwhelming. And now they're starting to attack things like not just about the character she's playing, but like about the way she looks and about all of these other things. And it's really affecting her. And it's the same thing, right? It's people that that take something out of context, that take something out of control, and they just decide like they're gonna get on their soapbox about it, and the things that they have to say are the only things that matter, and they forget that there's a human being under there, that didn't sign up for
that. I feel like when people go to my Instagram, I feel like all they see are like diarrhea jokes. Like, I'm a real person underneath my bathroom humor.
Yes, you're a real person.
I just happened to meet Ashkenazi, and that's what I was born with, just an upset stomach.
Yeah.
But I, in all seriousness, I think online bullying and bullying of any kind is horrific, and I'm so sorry that you've experienced that, because that is terrible. Yeah. I don't even have there aren't words to express how disgusting that is.
No, it's gross. And I haven't had it even half as bad as I know other folks have had it.
Sure, of course.
It's so hard, but it's It's frustrating, and that's you know, that is unfortunately the world we live in nowadays.
The cyber world we live in, that's so true. Let's end this on a good note. I can honestly say that you are an incredible audition coach. I've coached with you. I'll coach with you again. I just need an audition. And you're amazing. So every actor that's listening, do yourself a favor. Kara, will you tell everyone where they can find you and or follow you and all the good stuff?
Yes, you can find me everywhere at CCR Casting. It's like Creedence Clearwater. So CCRcasting.com or CCR Casting on Instagram. You can find me there. More information about my classes and about coaching are on my website. And there's a link on there to email me directly. I think my email is also linked directly to my Instagram. So those are the two best places to find me.
And I'll post everything when you're listening to this. It will be live on my Instagram, so don't worry. You'll find Kara and all the good stuff. Kara, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
This was so fun and educational.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I strive for. Put that on my tombstone: fun and educational.
Will do. Thank you so much.